You have a Bible with you tonight, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read beginning in verse 1 to verse 7. I said earlier in this meeting that I have returned to preaching some fundamentals of the Christian life. I believe in a deeper life. I believe in a higher life. And I believe we ought to do all that we can to go deeper in the Lord and higher in Him. But I believe in our generation, the great need of the hour is that we just learn again how to be common sense Christians. Just to live out our Christianity in a way that looks biblical. That has some resemblance to what the Scripture says a Christian life ought to be. And I want to speak to you tonight on an issue that is as central to that as any in the Bible. I'm going to talk to you from a word that's found in this text and speak to you on the subject of stewardship. I want you to notice in verse 1 of chapter 4, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now, Father, we ask tonight that you would in grace and mercy speak your word to us in a pointed way, in a way so personal that every one of us would understand the responsibility of being a human being created by God, gifted by God with opportunities and privileges. Lord, may we be a serious-minded people who live for you with everything we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. The word is found twice in verse 1 and verse 2. The word steward. Paul refers to himself as a steward. Now, I grew up in church. I realize that not everyone in this room did, but I did. I was saved as a child and raised in a Christian home, and I grew up around the things of God and the Word of God, so stewardship was a word I was familiar with as a young man. But in my mind, stewardship had a very limited application. I thought of stewardship almost exclusively in terms of my responsibility to give a little bit of my money to the work of God, to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I thought of stewardship. It was about money. It was about finances and so forth. And that is a part of it, but it's only the smallest sliver of the Bible teaching of stewardship. What I want to do tonight is show you from the Scriptures that this truth, this issue of being a steward before God, is one of the largest and most necessary spiritual themes in the Bible. In fact, I believe if you and I could ever get straight, if we could ever grasp this teaching of stewardship, then we would come into obedience to everything else in the Christian life. The rest of the Christian life would naturally fall into place if I really understood tonight the fact that I owe everything that I am to the goodness of God, and my responsibility is to give back to Him not just a little bit of my money, but everything I am and everything I have lived all out for His glory. I want you to see three things in these verses tonight, and we're going to start in the last verse I read and work our way backwards to the first verses. First of all, I want to say a word about the concept of stewardship. We need to understand tonight what we stand in need of in terms of knowing and embodying the Bible teaching on this issue. Look at verse 7. A series of three questions are asked in verse 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Do you know what that says tonight? Do you know what the point of that verse is? The foundational principle that everything else is built on in the life of a Christian is the understanding that I owe everything that I am and everything that I have to someone else. This is the concept of stewardship. The word translated steward in this passage means a trustee or a treasurer. And in essence, it speaks of someone who is responsible for managing something that belongs to someone else. He is a manager. He doesn't own it. It's not his property. He's managing something that belongs to someone else. In the New Testament world, the steward was usually a trusted slave who was put in charge of his master's household. Even the disposition of his financial matters were placed in this slave's hand. And this word steward emphasizes tonight that here is someone who is given trust, who is entrusted with great opportunity and great privilege. The privilege of handling wealth and property that in reality belongs to another, belongs to someone else. It also emphasizes that this person has a great responsibility to remember that he represents the interests of someone beyond himself. The way he lives, the way he handles situations involves someone other than himself. And one day he's going to give an account to his master, the one who really owns all of this. He's going to one day answer to him for how he has managed what's been entrusted to him. You see this in verse 6 and verse 7. I'll read it again in the New Living Translation. Brothers and sisters, I've used Apollos and myself to illustrate what I've been saying. If you pay attention to the scriptures, you won't brag about one of your leaders at the expense of another. What makes you better than anyone else? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why boast as though you've accomplished something on your own? Now this is the root tonight. This is one of these root issues in the Christian life. Biblical stewardship is the acknowledgement that I am what I am and I have what I have because God in his goodness has chosen to give it to me, literally to lend it to me for a time and a season. This goes back to the awareness and the confession that as a human being, I have a creator. I did not invent myself. I did not create myself. I have a creator, and even my day-to-day existence is due to the gracious permission of the living God. Do you know the reason I live this day is because God permitted me to live this day? I'm alive this moment because God is choosing to give me life right now. He didn't just wind you up like a clock and let you go. He not only created you and formed you, he sustains your existence moment by moment. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 17, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he ends as though he needed anything. Listen, when you come into a worship service, don't think you're giving God something he needs. He's not worshiped by our hands as though he needs anything. He is completely self-existent and self-reliant, and I don't ever contribute anything to him. I'm not giving God something he lacked when I worship him. I'm not giving him something he needs when I serve him. He's not the beneficiary of my grace. I can tell you that tonight. This principle I'm speaking of tonight is the confession that I'm not giving God something he needs. The truth of the matter is, he gives to all life and breath and all things. For in him we live and move and have our being. You know what Job chapter 12 and verse 10 says? It says, in his hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Did you know your breath is in his hand tonight? You're breathing because he just gave you a breath. Right out of his hand, he just gave you a breath. You take the next breath, he just gave you that one. One day, he'll say, that's all the breaths you're having. You're passing out of mortality into eternity. And that's his decision. He knows when that time comes, doesn't he? My life is in his hand. That's why it's so foolish to be arrogant and cocky and full of self, strutting around as if I'm something. My soul, I get the breath I'm breathing out of the goodness of God. That's why it's legit. That's why it is reasonable tonight for the Bible to say, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's a reasonable statement because that breath came from him. It's only reasonable that I take some of that breath and turn it back into an explosion of praise and thanksgiving unto the God who's done this for me. Daniel chapter 5 tells the story of a fool of a man who came to the throne of Babylon after Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and he was ruling in wickedness and evil. And one day he decided he was going to throw an orgy and a drunken party for some of his friends. And so this king, powerful man, he thought of himself, ruler of the known world, all of the earth at his feet in obedience, this king of the Babylonians, this king of the Chaldeans. And he ganged up his little crew and they began to drink and party, and he pulled out the holy vessels that had been taken from the city of Jerusalem, out of the temple of the one true God. He brought out those golden vessels and they began to drink wine out of those vessels. And the Bible says God sent a hand and began to write a message on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Now, he couldn't read that, but he knew there was something serious going on, because there was a hand with no body attached to it. And he might have been a fool, which he was, and he might have been a drunk fool, which is a fool doubled, but he still had enough sense. The Bible says his knees began to knock together. His knees began to smite each other. When he began to understand, I'm dealing with something here I can't command. I may be able to command my armies and march them from one city to another, but I'm dealing now with something I have no authority to command. Someone bigger than me is involved in this situation. And he began to desperately seek for someone to interpret the message. Daniel came, and you remember this, Daniel preached him a little message along with the interpretation. And one of the things Daniel said to him was this: the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? God, he said, holds your life in his hand. He gives you every breath you breathe, and you've been so goofy you've not even tried to glorify him with the life you're living. I'm speaking to you tonight of stewardship. It's not just putting a few nickels and dimes in the offering plate, my friend. It is living in the awareness, I am what I am, I have what I have, because Almighty God has given this to me. I don't have anything to boast of my own, even the breath I'm using to preach tonight. I can't brag of it and speak of it as my own. God himself is the author and the source. Now, every human being is under an obligation of stewardship. Every human being, by virtue of the fact that we are created beings who owe our entire existence to the gift of God, our Maker, every human being, but especially tonight, those of us who claim to be born again believers. We're to live in the awareness of our stewardship unto the Lord, because not only has he given us physical life and physical breath and all the things connected with it, but he has furthermore given us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The one true God is now my heavenly Father. He has permitted me entrance into his spiritual family. He has baptized me into the body of Christ. He has indwelt me with the Holy Spirit. He has given me spiritual gifts and abilities that I'm expected to use in his power for his kingdom purposes. 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let me read it from another translation. It may help you grasp it, the contemporary English version. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in service of others, so use your gift well. Are you aware of that tonight, child of God? Some of you perhaps think of church as just a place where you go and get, where someone gives to you. Perhaps you think of the Christian life as just meeting your needs and you just want someone to continually stroke you and pour into you. Have you ever come to understand, if you're a Christian, God has entrusted to you spiritual gifts that he expects you to use for his glory and his honor? And it is a stewardship. It is a divine trust tonight. It is a divine trust. The concept of stewardship is simply this: every human being and every saved person in particular owes all that we are and all that we have to the grace of God. Our life, our breath, and all things in the realm of the physical world are given us on loan from the Lord, and we must acknowledge that fact and give him glory by using our physical existence to please and honor him. Our spiritual privileges as Christians and our spiritual gifts as members of the body of Christ are given us by the Lord, and we must live in the humble awareness that we are nothing but the slave. All of this really belongs to the Master, who has given us the great privilege and responsibility of sharing in the management of his kingdom affairs. It is a trembling thought to me tonight that God Almighty has given me trust that I'm to use in his honor, and one day I'll answer for it. That's the second thing I want to show you out of this passage. The concept of stewardship is simply that we have what we have, we are what we are because God has done it. God has given it to us. There's another thing I want you to see. I call this the concern of stewardship. Stewards are to be concerned about something. There's something we're to be mindful of. Look at verse 3 and 4 and 5. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing against myself. He's speaking of in terms of looking into his own life. He said, I'm not aware of anything in my life that's wrong with God. Yet, he said, am I not hereby justified? Because he that judgeth me is the Lord. Paul is admitting the fact he could be blind to some things in his life. I'm not conscious of anything in my life that displeases the Lord, but that doesn't necessarily justify me. God himself is going to have to examine me because I can lie to myself so well. I'm such a good liar when it comes to myself. I can so convince myself I'm something that I'm not. In verse 5, he says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Or it could be translated, then God will give to everyone whatever praise is due. Do you understand what this says? Here is a steward. Now, Paul has the sense to acknowledge, I am what I am. I have what I have because God has given it to me. And now he's confessing, this is what I'm concerned about. This is what I keep myself mindful of, having been given this great privilege, having been given of God life and breath and all things physically, and having been given eternal life and admission into the body of Christ and spiritual gifts, having been given all of these things, now I'm living in the realization that I am under an obligation to use all that I've been trusted with, all that I've been given of God wisely, understanding I'm going to be held accountable one day. I'm going to answer to him. The steward has to remember that ultimately there's a Lord to answer to. There's a master who's coming back again. And he's going to answer to his master concerning how he handled what was given to him in trust. Matthew chapter 25 uses a story to illustrate this story of three servants who were given talents. The King James says talents. It speaks of money, amounts of money. One man was given five, another man two, a third man one. And the Lord traveled off. And while the Lord was gone, he left these servants in charge of that amount of money to use in his absence, to use in representing his interests. And the Bible says in Matthew 25, 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. It's an accounting term, reckoneth. It means he got out the books and he licked his pencil, and he started adding up and settling accounts. He audited what they had done in his absence. There's an audit day coming, beloved. And in our text, the Apostle Paul makes this confession. He said, I know I'm a steward. I'm a steward because I'm alive, first of all, but more than that, I'm a child of God. I've been saved, and God has trusted me with the mystery of the gospel. I'm spiritually gifted. God has given me gifts that I'm to use in his honor, and I remind myself, and I'm telling you tonight, the Spirit of God wants us to remind ourselves that one day we're going to give an account to the Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ. There's an answering day coming. There's an answering day. You may not think it. You may think life is yours to do with as you please, to live as foolishly and unfocused as you want to, but I'm telling you that's not the case. There's a master you're answerable to. There's a Lord you're answerable to. I will one day stand before the God who gave me life regarding how I use the life he trusted to me. I mean physically. I'll one day stand before the God who caused me to be alive and sustain my life over a period of time. And I'm going to be accountable to the one who gave me my daily breath and my daily bread for how I used it. Either to bless his holy name or to heap it upon my own lust and be a curse unto him. I'll answer to the God who allowed me money to spend and cars to drive and houses to live in concerning whether I use those things in obedience to him or in arrogant self-centeredness. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, the word of God says that He has created all things, and for His pleasure we are and were created. The reason I exist is to please God. And one day I'll answer for whether or not I pleased Him. Whether my life brought Him pleasure or whether my physical existence brought Him grief and heartache. I'll answer to Him for it one day. There's an accounting day for stewards. One of the passages that the Lord used in my life as a young man, as a teenage Christian, that to this day I go back to again and again is Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know what that says, beloved? Now, I'm not an old man yet, but I'm an older man than I used to be. My son and I have been lifting weights together for some time. I started lifting when I was about his age, and now he's 14, and we've been lifting together for about a year. He's getting stronger and stronger. I'm at a dead stop. I'm going far as I'm going, son. It's backing up for me, Brother Dean, from now on. It's backing up. I remember what it was like. I can remember well what it was like when I could go in a gym and rack it up and do it all day long. Now I work out a couple of hours, and I got elbow wraps on. I got wrist wraps on. I hobble out with a gimpy hip when I leave the gym. Huh? You see, the Bible's, oh, listen, youth and vigor and health, this is a gift from God. Amen. Young men, young people, understand this. Your youth is not something that you can just squander on stupidity and empty living. God has given you the gift of abundant vitality and energy. Don't have the wicked attitude that says, I'm going to live for flesh, I'm going to live for sin while I'm young, and then when I'm too old to enjoy life, I'll toss God the leftovers. Listen, there's an accounting day. There's an accounting day, my friend. I thank God. I thank the Lord Jesus for every person who gets right with God in their old age. Don't misunderstand me. I thank God for every person who gets right with God in their old age. My father-in-law, at the age of 80, came to know Jesus Christ just before he died 18 months later. I thank God for it. Thank God he's merciful in that way. But you think of all the years of life thrown away that could have pleased Jesus, could have brought glory to the Christ of Calvary, that were thrown away. I'm telling you, young men and young women, the God who judges men's hearts will make you answer for what you did with the youth and energy He entrusted to you. Furthermore, I'm going to answer to the giver of all good things for how I used my spiritual blessings and my spiritual gifts and my opportunities as a follower of Christ to spread the message of Jesus. Our text reminds us of something tonight, and I want you to think of it. I know we don't want to think of it. We like to just skip through life and tiptoe through the tulips and go about our business and live as we want to without any thought of eternity or accountability. But I'm telling you, if we're going to be Bible Christians, we have to remind ourselves we are stewards. God has trusted us with life. God has trusted us with salvation. And one day He's going to call us to account, not only for what we did, but for why we did it. This passage says that. He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Oh, listen, friend, does that make you take a moment of pause? Just pause a moment? Say, my soul, wait a minute here. It's not just a matter that you came to church tonight, it's why you did it. You could have come just to eat pot roast and the trimmings. It's not just that you show up physically to the things of the house of God, it's your spirit in doing so. It's serious. It's not just that I'm preaching tonight, it's why I'm doing it. It's what motivates me, the secret things of the heart. He's going to bring to light what is hidden in darkness and reveal the intentions of the heart, the Bible says. So here is the concern of stewardship. The steward is one who reminds himself again and again, there's a judgment day coming, and I'm going to one day answer to the owner and the master of all these things, the one who owns life, the giver of life, the one who owns salvation and gives it as a gift to me. One day I'm going to answer to him for what I've done with what he trusted to me. One other thing I want you to see tonight, the calling of stewardship. The calling of stewardship, verse 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. This is the requirement that stewards live under. This is the calling. We are required, and that word means demanded. We are expected. What does the master expect and demand of his stewards? We're expected to be found faithful. Faithful means reliable, dependable. It's the same word used in Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus said of some who use their life and their abilities well and in surrender to him, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Same word. When the Lord defines one of his servants, one of his stewards, as a good steward or as a good servant, he links it with the word faithful. I told you Monday night, and I say again, I believe one of the most needful verses in my own life, and I live by it, I go back to it again and again, is this statement, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. We better learn to live by something bigger than our emotions and our feelings and what's easy and convenient. So I'll tell you, if I lived by my feelings, I wouldn't have even come this week. I would have been home with my wife. You better be driven by something bigger than your momentary pleasure. What's easiest at the moment. Every one of us tonight have a common calling. Every one of us share this in common. Now, you have varied backgrounds. If we begin to talk about our backgrounds, many of you could not identify with me, raised in church, raised by a Christian mom and dad who to this day love Jesus and support me and pray for me. Some of you can't identify with that. Your background doesn't involve that. Maybe you come from a broken home or even an abusive home. And so we have all kinds of backgrounds represented here tonight. But there's one thing every one of us have in common. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God. And my friend, we owe all that we are to him. We owe our existence. We owe our spiritual privileges. And it is our obligation tonight. It is our obligation to be faithful to this God who has given us all that he's done for us. We're to consciously, conscientiously use all that we are in surrender to the Lord Jesus. Now that includes our time. The moments that make up our allotted days on this earth, however long that is for you and for me. Our time is a part of this. It includes our talents, which involves our natural abilities as well as our spiritual gifts. And it involves our treasure, which is the money and the material things the Lord has allowed us to have. We're called to be stewards. And the one thing expected of a steward is faithfulness. Faithfulness. You may not always shout and jump a pew, but you can always be faithful. You may not always feel as high as a kite on a March day, but you can be faithful. It may not be fun sometimes, but you can be faithful. And until you are, you're of no real value to the kingdom of God. Now I'm telling you, this is what's necessary to be of any value to the kingdom of God. Faithfulness. Thick and thin, hard or easy, faithfulness. In sunshine and rain, faithfulness. Just living as unto the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what? Don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you know the Bible says whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is stewardship. Stewardship is not giving a few dollars to the offering plate. Stewardship is living in the consciousness, my life is not my own to do with as I please. My moments, the hours and the days and the years that make up my life on earth, my moments are not my own to throw away on vanity and foolishness. My material possessions are not mine to hoard and heap to my selfishness. My salvation is not given me that I may snooze my way to heaven in spiritual apathy. My spiritual gifts are not given me that I may pick them up and put them down at my convenience, at my discretion. I am a steward of that which rightfully belongs to another, my Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Even your salvation is not yours, it's His. Have you ever seen this in the Bible? This is a misquoted verse, all the time misquoted. Psalm 51, verse 12. You've heard it quoted like this many, many times. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That is wrong. That is not what it says. It says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. This is not my salvation. This is His salvation. He lets me get in on it. I'm in on something that I had nothing to do with tonight. I'm in on something that Jesus fought and won on the cross. I'm a beneficiary of something that didn't even involve me. The Lord Jesus took on my enemy and my adversary and defeated him handily in the resurrection. And tonight I get in on it, but it's His salvation. It's not mine. Everything I have is His, including the gift of eternal life. It's His, including your ability to do whatever you can do for the glory of God. I am a steward of that which rightfully belongs to another, with a capital A, another, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day He's going to audit my books to see how I used what He trusted to me. Can you see tonight, do you see with me that this matter of stewardship, I know when I announced the subject of stewardship, some of you probably thought, well, good heavens. But can you see that the subject of stewardship is not an insignificant issue? It is the issue in life. It is the issue. Stewardship is the whole of the Christian life. It is humbling myself to confess that I am not my own and that all that I have belongs to the Lord. Stewardship means that I seek to surrender every inch of my body, every breath that I breathe, every moment I live, every word and deed and motive, every penny that I get, every purchase that I make, every talent I discover, every spiritual ability that I have, that I give all of that to the great purpose of honoring the God who made me and who gave Himself for me on the cross. Before I close, I want to make sure you understand this. The first thing that a man must do, even to begin to acknowledge his stewardship before the one true God, is to repent of self-centeredness and receive the gift of salvation that's available only through Jesus Christ. That's the first step in being a good steward. To repent of living a selfish, self-centered life and to receive from Christ the gift of salvation and to name Him not just as Savior, but to say to Him, I understand You're the center of the universe. I thought I was the center of the universe. That's why I was always ready to get upset and aggravated at anybody who didn't do things my way. But I've come to see I'm not the center of the universe. You are the center of the universe, Lord Jesus. And I just want to be a spoke connected to the hub, so that at least I can spin in the right direction. Amen. The first thing you have to do tonight is settle the issue of whether you know Jesus. You may be one of those people who say, now I believe in God, and I tip my hat every day to the man upstairs. But when it comes to receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you refuse to go that far with it. Well, let me tell you plainly that the God you claim to believe in is a false God. Because the true God can only be known, can only be believed in through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Whatever God I say I believe in, if it doesn't involve going through Jesus Christ, it's a fake God, a false God of my own imagination. If you're in this building and you've never personally trusted in Jesus to settle your sin account with God through His shed blood on the cross, you've never personally called on the name of Jesus for salvation and invited Him to come into your life and be your Lord, then you also are going to give account to God one day. There's an accounting day for you. You're one day going to answer to the one who loved you so much that he came into this world in a human body and bled his life out for you on a Roman cross. And the Bible says if your name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, you will be cast into a lake of fire. There is a judgment for those who are not saved. So first of all tonight, receive Jesus right this evening. While God is giving you the privilege of doing so, receive Jesus tonight as your Lord and Savior. And to those of you who've already done it, you'd say, I've done it, I'm sure of it, I know I have. Quit playing around with life. Quit throwing your days away on vanity. Begin to take your place as a responsible member of the body of Christ. Begin to use what God has given to you to glorify Him. Serve instead of seeking always to be served. Minister instead of seeking always to be ministered to. Ask the Lord to help you know how you can live for Him in such a way that on that great accounting day you can hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God help us be revived Christians who live the awareness of our stewardship before Him every day. Stand as we pray. Father, You have given us tonight an opportunity to look into the Word of God, and I pray You'd help us to be good stewards of this moment, because this is a stewardship. This service is a stewardship. And we're going to be one day answerable to You for what we did with this church service. There will be people who will stand before You one day at the judgment, and they will find themselves under condemnation because when they had a chance, they did not receive the Word of God. But I pray, Father, that for myself and for those in this building who love You, that that would not be the case for us. That this very service and this week of meetings, that when the day comes when the books are audited and we answer to the God who gave us life and gave us this week of revival meeting, that we can find out we did what He chose, what He wanted us to do with this precious privilege. Yes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yes. So we remain standing as you heard.